So the epistle for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Ephesians chapter 4. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new man, who according to God is created in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak ye the truth every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your anger. Give not place to the devil. He that stole, let him now steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have something to give to him that suffereth need. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 22. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who made a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call them that were invited to the marriage, and they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell them that were invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My beeves and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come ye to the marriage.' But they neglected and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise, and the rest laid hands on his servants, and having treated them contemptuously, put them to death. But when the king had heard of it, he was angry. And sending his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage indeed is ready, but they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, call them to the marriage.' And his servants, going forth into the ways, gathered together all that were found, both bad and good, and the marriage was filled with guests. And the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment, and he saith to him, 'Friend, how comest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment?' But he was silent. Then the king said to the waiters, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Please be seated. One announcement I forgot to mention is just one. We welcome two of the brothers from the Benedictines down in Silver City. You might have noticed in coming into Mass that they do have some coffee and some nights that they probably will be selling or taking orders at least for after Mass. So again, if you'd like to help to support the Benedictines, that would be a great way of doing so. "Nothing is wanting to him who possesses God. God alone suffices. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." In today's Mass, we see the importance of the idea of getting to heaven. And I think it's something that obviously we know for a fact. We know that is the end of our life, that we must try to get to heaven. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in different ways, he has given us that idea and that understanding, whether through parables, whether through his preaching, and trying to inspire us in understanding that. And so in today's Mass, we have a parable of the wedding feast. That a king has this wedding feast and he calls all the guests to it. But then we see from that that there is one that is not ready for it. They don't have on a wedding garment. And so they're not prepared for that. And so that is something then the king even comes over to him and asks him, "Friend, you know, where is your wedding garment? Why are you not prepared for this?" And they don't answer. And so for the spiritual authors, they understand that to be sanctifying grace. And so yes, for us, we understand we must get to heaven. We also understand that God will call us at different times. And so just as this king, he calls this wedding feast, and that is the parable that our Lord gives. The king is obviously Almighty God, and he calls all of us to heaven for this. And so he calls us to come to heaven, but there is a requirement from us. We must die in the state of grace. We must have this sanctifying grace for our soul. And so truly, we take a chance on the salvation of our soul when we are away from the state of grace. Because again, we have no idea where God will call us. And so if we're away from that, and if God were to call us, we would lose out on this great gift. And so from that, I quoted for you at the very beginning the bookmark of St. Teresa of Avila. What I was hoping to do is to show to you through two saints, one, the importance of, yes, doing the will of God, and from that, doing the will of God, of obviously being pleasing to God and getting to heaven, but also helping us to understand what is asked of us. And so through the bookmark of St. Teresa of Avila, whose feast was October 15th, for her, she relied upon Almighty God. Early in her life, she was living a life that was not as pleasing to God. God showed her that. In a sense, God woke her up from the life that she was living. Even to the point of where he showed her her place in hell, if she would continue in the lifestyle that she had. And so, yes, for St. Teresa of Avila, it was a great wake-up call from that. And so then she would go out and she would live the religious life. But not only from the religious life, she would also try to make it more pleasing to God in helping to change the Carmelites because they had become too lax. And so being inspired by God, having the help of St. John of the Cross, she helped to reform the Carmelites and making them to be more pleasing to God. Having a stricter life, yes, but a stricter life in order for them to serve Almighty God better. And she found out during that time of trying to do all of that, of how much that she would meet resistance from even the other religious, to the point that at times they would lock her out of her own convent. They didn't want anything to do with some of these changes because they felt maybe it was too hard. But St. Teresa, because she knew that this was the will of God, that she placed all of her trust in Almighty God, and that's why she came up with this famous bookmark, which one is a hallmark of the life that she lived. But I think it also can be something that's for all of us, we can fall back upon that. In realizing the dependence that we have on Almighty God, the dependence that we should have on Almighty God. Because for her, as she said, let nothing disturb you, nothing frighten you, all things are passing, but God never changes. So she's just talking about the fleetingness of life around us. And it can be the fleetingness of our friends around us. It can be the fleetingness of our family around us. But the one thing that remains constant for us is Almighty God. And that is why then when we try to live our lives, we try to live our lives pleasing to God. One, because God is our judge. But then two, because of the fickleness of people around us, why bother? And so therefore we must try to center our lives upon God. But then she continues on and says, patience obtains all things. Nothing is wanting to him who possesses God. God alone suffices. But it's interesting of how she says, patience obtains all things. Because that was one of the virtues that St. Teresa found out the hard way that she would have to practice in trying to do God's will. As I said, being locked out of her own convent, having the religious to where they wouldn't even listen to her. She met so much resistance to trying to do God's will. But yet for her, because she was patient, she was willing to follow Almighty God, she was able to make these changes to where we still have the effects of that today. Our Carmelites in Spokane, Washington, there's Carmelites obviously in Europe, that they follow then what she instituted or helped to try to bring back in order to be more pleasing to God, in order to serve God better. And so that's the thing that we see with St. Teresa of Avila, the patience that she had in serving God, in finding out, okay, well, this is what I must try to do in order to be pleasing to him. Very easy for her, if she met the resistance, she could have given up and said, okay, well, you know what, it's not God's will, so forget it. This is too difficult for me to take on for one person, so I'm not going to even try this. And she could have tried to either live a religious life, just, you know, basically, okay, well, I'll try to do what I can to be pleasing to God. Or even in some ways, she could have just left even the convent. But she realized this is what God was calling her to. And as I say, especially because she was shown so much from God, these graces that were given to her. I mean, you would think that any of us, if we are shown our place in hell, because this is the path that we're taking, that we would change our lives. But in some ways, when we realize that we are without sanctifying grace, that is the path for us. We don't even have to be shown it. We know that for a fact. We realize that. We understand that. But then in a way, maybe putting it into practice is where we fall short. Whether it's because of the weakness of our human nature, because of the occasions of sin that we still place ourselves in, but we lose that sanctifying grace. And so, yes, going back to the whole understanding of the parable that is given to us, it is us who shows up and we have no wedding garment on. And you see how the king even addresses friend, you know, where is your wedding garment? You know, how many times maybe God has come to us through a grace of God, of trying to help us to convert back and living a life pleasing to him. The grace of a book that we read, a grace of a sermon, a grace of a conference. And yet we still don't do anything toward that. And so as I say, with St. Teresa of Avila, we see very clearly the patience that she's shown throughout her life. The second saint that I would like to give to you as an example is St. Margaret Mary. St. Margaret Mary, we know, I preached before upon that she is the one that received the visions of the Sacred Heart. It is where the devotion to the Sacred Heart, devotion to the First Fridays comes from. But she was this herald of this news for us to try to practice that. But I think also in the looking at the life of St. Margaret Mary, the obedience that she also had to the will of God. And that is why these two saints, you can say there's a closeness in their lives because of what God asked from them and what God had given to them and shown them as a great grace. And so they had received these graces from God. They acted upon those. And then in a sense, we all benefit from that. And so with St. Margaret Mary, when she received these visions of the Sacred Heart, she had asked the Sacred Heart, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? And that is where our Lord just told her, he said, give me your free hand, I will lead you. And I think for us, that is also something that we must recognize. The willingness of God that he is wanting to lead us in the path of virtue, that is according to the designs of Almighty God, and not maybe to our own will. And again, going back to these two saints, that's what they also found out. It wasn't according to their own will, but it was according to God's will that they were to sanctify their soul. And so God also, for all of us, will try to lead us. God will try to direct our souls to what he wants, whether it's in what vocation we're supposed to follow, or whether it's just in terms of sanctifying our soul, that God will try to lead us if we are willing to accept that. And so very clearly for St. Margaret Mary, she understood that by receiving these visions, yes. And we may argue and say, well, these saints, they had these special visions, they had these special times that God shows to them. But think about how much God has given to us. I mean, think about our faith that God has given to us. And so God leads us in trying to become holy. God leads us in trying to sanctify our soul. And so that is something that we must try to understand and we must try to follow and be open to. The means that God gives to us, the means that God offers to our souls. And so pray for these graces from God. Turn to these saints, obviously, and also ask them for the help that we need to serve God too. Whether it's in the virtues that they practice, the patience, the obedience, the listening to what God wants. Virtues that are necessary for all of us to practice. But as I say, I think it's also very good for us to understand that and to pray for these graces. Pray for these virtues to follow. Because it's only through the practice of these virtues, the following of the example of the saints, that we will be able to sanctify our soul. And understanding that God calls us to this wedding feast, He calls us to heaven. And so He calls every single one of us. But by calling us, do we heed that call? Do we listen to that? But a lot of times we turn a deaf ear to that. Or maybe we just think we have more time to come back to the grace of God. But I would say if we find ourselves without the wedding garment, if we find ourselves without sanctifying grace, God is calling us now. And that is what we learn from the epistles, the gospels, the masses that are given to us to meditate, to contemplate upon. That God will lead us. God will give us the graces that we need. And that's why it's good when we have, you know, confirmations, we have All Saints Day coming up, that the children, they read about the saints, they understand what they did to become a saint. And that is what they're meant to follow. I mean, that is what, when you name your children or help them to choose, say, a patron saint for confirmation, that is why you want them to imitate this saint. You want them to follow that saint and how they serve God. I mean, obviously, through the practice of the virtues, God will call us in all different walks of life, different ways, but at least through the practice of the virtues, that is what He is asking from all of us. And so that is why then when you're choosing a saint's name for the baptism of your child or for confirmation, try to help them to choose a saint that they can follow. And then keep them as a special patron always for your children, reminding them of the saint that they have chosen. Whether books, pictures, statues that you can give to them, for them to have that reminder to that. And so these are the things that we must try to remember and to pray about. Because as I say, God is calling every single one of us to become a saint. He's calling all of us to be united at that wedding feast. But God forbid if we find ourselves without our wedding garment. Let us do something about that. But as I say, pray to these two saints, this bookmark of St. Therese, St. Margaret Mary, when we understand receiving the visions of the Sacred Heart, and how much that God wanted just to lead her. She considered herself unworthy, and God just said, well, let me lead you. Give me your free hand so I will lead you to what I want. So truly let us pray to these saints to follow them, and then we can live up to the end of the bookmark of St. Therese, that God alone suffices. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.